All right, so here we go. Revelation chapter 5. And if you remember, now this is my third and last time to share ever. And the title that I used was How to Become Fit to Rule, or a subtitle to that is When is the promise going to be fulfilled? When? Okay? And so what we've studied so far is that David, when he was 15 years old, God had anointed David. You're going to be king, a 15-year-old kid. You're going to be king, and you're going to become this person that is revered and loved and all this. And God told him all kind of stuff as the years went by. But there were no evidences of that for 15 years after that. No evidence of him being king. In fact, everything looked the opposite way. And for those 15 years, God fed him with a growth serum. It was called trials, troubles and trials. And he fed him with that to help build him up in the most holy faith, to understand how to be a king, by what spirit, and how to be that before the Lord. And so we left off in 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you turn there with me. And also we mentioned, while you're turning there, we mentioned that David had accomplished two major things. The moment, as it were, that he became king, the first one was that he went up there and he took the Jebusite stronghold. He took the Jebusite stronghold, the one that Joshua didn't drive out or no one else until David came. And the second thing was he brought back the Ark of the Covenant, which was where the presence of God was. He brought back the presence of God in the midst of them, not just that he was somewhere, you know, but he was in place there in the midst of them. So then we talked a bit about David's tabernacle. That's where David brought the ark and he put it in this. Basically, it was just a tent, but it was also, the ark was where the Holy of Holies was. But God had forsaken Shiloh, which is where the tabernacle of Moses had been set up. And he dwelt in this tent that was like the Holy of Holies, but it wasn't. It was a separate thing. It was David's tabernacle. And David treated it completely different than Moses' Holy of Holies. Can I get amen? Think of it. Very, very, very different. Amen. And so let's talk about this relationship, though, because the relationship that David had with God and that God had with David was based on a heart situation. And God himself said that. I have found David a man after my own heart. It was a heart situation between them. And so in Psalm 89, if you turn there with me. What did I say? Well, turn to all of them. Okay, good. I'll read Revelation 5, 8, starting with verse 8, and y'all can be turning to the other seven verses that I ask you to find. How many fingers do you have? 10. Okay, so you're not in trouble yet. Revelation 5, starting verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's what ought to bring us down. Amen? Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. He didn't say, Thou art worthy to take the book and open it because you triumphed over everything. You're the king. You're the monster dude, man, because you can conquer anything. No, because thou wast slain. and hast redeemed us to God by your blood, not by your mighty sword. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And we use that scripture at the very beginning, two times back, to show that there is meant to be a reigning, you know, not just being a king in title, but a reigning. And that's what God was doing with David. That's what I call the growth serum, was that he was putting him through stuff to find out and to train where he was at, ever trying to bring him to the place of fulfillment of what God had already promised to him. All right, let's see. 2 Samuel 5, are we okay with this one? Okay. So all the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. Okay, so David is going to finally not just be king over Judah, which was not very long ago that happened, but now he's going to be king over all of Israel. And the first thing he does, he makes a league with them before the Lord. It's always before the Lord. This is always about the Lord with David. This is always a heart thing. This is always, this is my life. This is my life, not the kingdom. You know, I mean, the proof of that is, I don't know who ran the affairs of the kingdom, but David looked like he just sat in David's tabernacle and wrote a million psalms. You know, I mean, that kind of, and then sang them, you know, to God. Before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So, for David to have become that king, as soon as he became that king, that's when he did this. He took the stronghold of the Jebusites, where nobody could take it. This stronghold that is within us, whatever the strongest place is, I'm going to take that, David said, and I'm going to put God, and he's going to live there. No longer this stuff. Okay, now if David was indeed doing that also in his heart, just think of how the Lord is responding to all of that. The Lord is seeing, he's putting me first. He wants me. He's bringing me back. It's always, always, always what David could do to further the Lord, not himself. So, then we talked about David, with the, tabernacle and the basis of their relationship. So let's talk a little more about that relationship now, okay? This is your third and final finger. And what is the one that I asked you to turn to with your third and final finger? Oh, you guys are good. There you go. All right, Psalm 89. This is a great psalm, okay? Psalm 89, and we'll start with verse 20. This is God speaking. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. All right. So from the beginning, David had a special relationship, right? Everybody has to admit that. David had a special relationship with God. I mean, at 15, he's anointed as king, but he's not a king on the inside yet, right? He's going to be brought into that reality. In verse 21, it talks about God promised this. How wonderful is this? God's hand will be with him. Wait a minute, charismatics. We've been studying in the prophets that Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar, was his hand. That he uses God's enemies to see how he's going to respond, to see how he can handle this stuff. So that's what's going on here. Also, verse 22 and 23, his enemies will be used to develop him. Verse 24, his faithfulness and mercy are with him. And also in that verse, in his name, he will be exalted. And then David will reach, you know, farther than he ever has. But with all of that and with all those great things, because this happened, those things happened earlier in David's life and in his walk and in his relationship with the Lord. And I want to emphasize to you that it was such a special relationship that he had with God. Even in these things, God is promising these things, okay? But in verse 26, a change is coming. And if you'll notice the way that verse 26 is, it's future. It's not yet. All those things were promised up to this point, or not promised, but that God will do that. This is what's coming. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Okay, so this is what's coming. This is God promising, I'm going to form you into that king, or have that king heart, able to rule over yourself first. Y'all remember that? That's what we talked about. It wasn't about ruling over anyone else yet. You're not going to be a king until you can rule over yourself first. Okay, so I love how, so he shall cry unto me. He shall cry, Thou art my Father. God says, I will make him my firstborn. Okay? So David had, before this verse, verse 26, because that's going to mark a new relationship that's coming. It hadn't come yet. Before that, God had made a covenant with David that all of his people would sit on the throne, there would always be a somebody of his seed sitting on the throne, and that there'd be all these blessings and all this stuff. But now God is working more now. He's moving to the insides. Okay, he's moving. You know, they're still got this relationship, but it's not the same anymore. Now, David is going to hear him differently. That's what we want to discuss. He's going to start hearing God differently. It's going to be a completely new song, a completely new sound enters in, as God begins to bring him more and more into that. Now you can see that, and it begins, as I try to develop it here, in Psalm 110, verse 1. So if you'll turn there, and you can let all your other fingers go on what I had you doing. Unless, of course, I give you several in a row in a little while. So keep exercising your fingers. All right. So, Psalm 110, and I'll just read a little portion of this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Okay, the thing that we always get off on that verse is, make my enemies my footstool. Get them. Go get them. But the new sound, the new thing that the Lord is wanting to say is the first couple of words, the Lord said unto my word, okay? So God spoke this to David, right? Right? Okay. If it'll help, picture David sitting there on the throne or wherever, it doesn't matter, and God speaks to him and says, the Lord said unto my Lord, okay? Just let that sink in. David heard it. David wrote it in a psalm. Right? Right? But this is God not speaking to David about David. This is God speaking to David about his son, but not even that. This is God speaking to his son. The Lord said to my Lord. You get it? Now, I hope you'll catch what I'm trying to get here. What I'm trying to show you is that God is speaking to his son, but he's talking to David, and David's writing it down. Yeah, come on. Look at this is a new way of hearing. This is a new relationship. This isn't God just saying, oh, I'm going to bless you and I'll put somebody on the throne and da 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 and all this kind of stuff. No, he is, if you will, bringing him in to the Godhead to hear what's going on between them. And that is big stuff. Amen? It's God speaking, as it were, to his son. The Lord said to my Lord. God speaking to his son, as it were, in him. And here's why I say in him, because theologically I know that you can say, okay, well, Jesus didn't dwell inside of David at that time or whatever. But God can still talk to David about the son that he is, but it's not him. Does that make sense? God can talk to David about the son, or talk to his son in him, and David can say, he's not talking to me. He's talking about his own son, but he's looking at me. And he's saying, because David's the one writing it down and hearing it, you know. Hallelujah. So, that what happens with David? He believes it. This is the beginning of a new relationship and a new hearing, a new ability to hear God without it being about David. Everything was about David going to do this for God and all that, and God was going to bless you, and I'll take your enemies, and I'll do all this stuff. But now, the tone has changed, and David believes it. And why? Why? Why did David believe it? Because it wasn't about him anymore. It's not about him. Believe it or not, there's a freedom in that. It's about the one that's in you. You need to let God talk to you about the one that's in you. And have a relationship with you based on the one that's in you. Come on. All right, so is there someone else in that conversation? Because we hear the Father talking. We see David hearing it and writing it down. Yeah, the Lord said to my Lord, let's consider that. In fact, let's hear from the one that the Father was talking about. His name's Jesus, and we'll find this in Matthew 22. Okay. Is this fun, getting to go through the scriptures like this? Whoopee! We should do sword drills sometimes. Anybody? How many of you remember what sword drills are? Raise your hand. Yeah, I raised my hand, but trust me, in Oak Cliff, it's very different. Sword drills are very different. All right, Matthew 22. You there yet? All right, verse 42. Here we go. This is Jesus talking, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. All right. You see this? You see how jumbled this thing could get if you don't really understand what's going on here? And he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord. Right? You see, even Jesus doesn't emphasize the sit on my right hand until I make your enemies my foot. He's emphasizing this relationship because it's a big deal, because it is David's tabernacle reality that moves Jesus' heart, that moves the Father's heart, that moves the Holy Spirit's heart. It's the relationship that David entered into when he started going into that tabernacle and started hearing directly from God instead of some priest going in once a year. Amen? Amen. All right. So, verse 43, he saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Well, that's a good way to get people to shut up. You know, just start talking to them about the Godhead and the order of it. And that is to know God, not just Jesus or the Father or the Holy Spirit. That is to know God, actual Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together and how they interact, not a Christian interaction that we have on this earth without really knowing them. And that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. All right. So Jesus, when he's quoted this, see, he's not really just quoting the Bible. He was there then. He was being talked to. Right? Sometimes we forget this stuff. It's like, Jesus, I was there. You know, I mean, he even said that once, you know. Yeah, and they're going, blasphemy, you know. No, he was there, okay. All right, so, gosh, I didn't realize we had that many scriptures. Praise God. Let's go to Psalm 2 and verse 7. Some of you are going to really like this verse, and some of you are going to hate me and drive me out of the church, but that's okay. I'm kidding for those who are on Skype. They love me so much here. It's so precious. All right. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. Come on. Can I hear a... Yeah. That confirms that I'm not a heretic. Some of you get that joke. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Okay. So again, God spoke this to David. But it's not to David. Do you understand what I'm saying? God, you know, God wasn't speaking a psalm, and he wasn't speaking to David. God was not speaking a psalm. He was talking to his son. And we just, you know, we just make the scriptures, you know, and we don't really see what's really going on there, because with them, they're not, the Father's not going, let's see, now what, how's that going in the scriptures? You know what I mean? He's not doing that. Jesus isn't doing that. Apparently Jesus knows the scriptures, but again, he was there at every stage that they were being written. So, now, mark that out. That's the wrong word you used there. Because he's done that with me. All right. He was actually speaking to the Son, as it were, so that you can see that God speaking to his Son in David, okay? Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Yeah. So, David had this other covenant that God had given him. Your seed will sit on the throne. I will bless you, all this. We think all of that stuff is, yeah, if I can get that from God, I could rule and reign as a king. I'll be a good king, you know. He's going, no, you'd be a bad king just for saying all that you just said. Because you're putting it on things. Instead of God being able to come to David and speak to him as the son, but it is the son. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to get, but it's still God speaking it to David. Because he's the guy who wrote it down. We wouldn't know. God could have said that up there and we'd never heard it. But he said it so that David would hear and start realizing God the Father's wanting to relate to me by the Son that's in me. Instead of what? Instead of my Christianity, if you will. Excuse my French. Parlez-vous français? Oh, excuse my French. Okay. But it does apply to David. It does apply to David. Okay, well, how's that? Okay. How can that apply? It applies to David in that from no longer is he going to see himself in relationship to, I'm a godly man that God honors. But to see himself in the Son, by the Son, according to the Father's heart. According to the Father's heart. He's literally giving up that relationship that he had before with all the blessings and all the benefits and all of the good stuff that was coming with it. And he didn't, you know what? He didn't give it up as far as it coming to pass. It just didn't motivate him the way that it did early on. Now he's getting the true treasure. Who's the true treasure? Come on. Jesus is the treasure. Where is he located? In earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power would be of God and not of us. Well, that's the Bible. All right. So, it's being applied to David so that he would no longer see himself as a godly man, but a son by the Son, or no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. And living by that relationship and your quote unquote Christianity being by that relationship, that's what's going on here. So, you know, we need to do that. We need to start relating to God by the Son that's within us. That's it. I mean, like I said, David gave up his wonderful relationship with God, the one that was based on an earth existence, and now there's an eternal. That relationship was before there was an earth, much less before there was a David. But David tuned in because he was a man after God's own heart. And he wanted to fellowship with God on his heart, not on David's heart. Does that make sense? Come on. And David believed that. He kept hearing it because it's more than the scriptures I read to you. There's constantly, the Lord said to my Lord type thing going on. And it's like, wait a minute. I can just see him go, wait a minute. He's not even talking to me the same way. Oh, David, you're such a good guy, and I'm going to do this. And, you know, it was like, okay, I'm glad you're out of the way, David. I want to talk to my son. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know. So, I wrote my exhortation, get out of the earth and be hidden in Christ. I wrote, you keep trying to be revealed in Christ. But how about instead this? Be hid in Christ so that the Father can speak to his Son. See, David did more after that. He was more hid than he ever was. But he was getting more of an increase of the Father and the Son relationship happening in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Fun scripture here. The first fun part is going to be to see if you can find where it's at. Amos, book of Amos, chapter 9. All right, I'm going to step back and watch and see how we do here. Some of you are smart. You got your phone. Oh, Cassie's on deck. Okay, I'm going to throw the first ball at you. Yeah, some of you got your phone. You just go, Amos, and there it is, you know. Praise the Lord. All right. This is concerning David's tabernacle. Now, God's going to say some things here, and it's going to be based on, this is way down the line, okay? So you had Joshua coming into the land. I'm probably going to go out of camera view here, but right here you have, no, I'm not. Look, I can see myself way over there. Okay. Hi, Randy. So over here, Joshua goes into the land. Yeah, we're going to go into the land. We're going to take this land, all this kind of stuff. And what happens? They take the land, but they don't take all of it. Okay, so then comes along Eli but some of the other leaders. And then Saul came along, and then David comes along. But after David, see, this thing just keeps going. Then after David, there's Solomon, and then there's all these kings, and then there's Babylonian captivity, and then there's Amos. Let me ask the expert here. Where was Amos from?
He was from
the southern kingdom.
Yes.
And he was prophesying against the northern kingdom. Okay? So you're going all the way down. God, by putting these scriptures in Amos's mouth, he put them in his heart. God is longing for something that was way back over here when David was alive. And so many kings, so much stuff has happened until they're all carried away captive. God is longing and speaking out even then. All right, so let's look at it. Amos chapter 9, verse 9. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. This is, I cannot tell you the effect that the Spirit has had on me in relationship to hearing these words and some that we're going to read shortly. And it's a cry of God's heart for David's tabernacle, a relationship that God was having with David and David with God based on his son, but based on them. And it was the sweetest fellowship God ever had in his time. Notice that verse again. Verse 1, for lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations like as a corn of wheat is sifted. Huh? John 12:24, you don't have to turn there. You know it. I can read it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'm going to sift you to make you a king or to make you one who can commune with me without yourself constantly being an issue.
Yes.
Well, Kelly and Deb are happy with it. It's God's heart, and he means business, because he goes on, and that's where he starts talking about, I'm going to raise up again.
Oh, yes, Lord.
You know?
Yes.
But to do that, he's saying, I've got to put you through the death process. I've got to do it. If I don't, all these issues and all this stuff and all your mind and your ideas and your Christianity and you, your little hands, your little grabby, Jesus, help me. I need, please, me. Just me, just this 1,000 million time. No. No. You want something.
Yes, Lord.
And I want you to have it. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. All right. Well, let me finish John 12. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth it. This is the sifting. I will sift you like corn. Hateth his life in this world shall keep it under eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is it. What happens to Jesus right after this? He dies? Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, I mean, sure. But he's also resurrected and becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He passed through the thing that leads to David's tabernacle. All right. It's starting to hit home to a few more. Lord, arrows of the Almighty. All right, so when will the promise of David's tabernacle be fulfilled? We just read it. The answer is when we become sifted seed. I put that in parentheses. When we become sifted seed, that's when it's coming, because David's tabernacle follows right after that. Hallelujah. All right, so there's a scripture referring to this also in the New Testament. Anybody know where it's at? And if you do, say it out loud. Acts 15, glory, glory, glory. Come on, this is worship. Come on, brethren. Okay. Yeah, hallelujah. All right. Acts 15, well, I really am happy, because this stuff to me is just amazing. Okay, Acts 15, verse 13. Now, the whole deal was that they called a big junta. People in Houston know what that is. But a big meeting. And they were going to have this big meeting, and they brought in all the big shots, and they were going to determine if the Gentiles had any right to become partakers. Okay. So, you know, Paul and Barnabas or Silas, I can't remember which one. Paul and somebody else. Barnabas. Barnacle Bill the Sailor. Okay. Paul and Barnabas start, and they go, well, we know, because I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. And everywhere we go, there are miracles showing that God is really. And I'm like, really, Paul? Is that your best shot on this? You know? So Peter says, well, you know, I went down there to Cornelius's place, you know, and the Spirit spoke to me and said, go down to Cornelius's house, and I've got a job for you. And he gets down there, and he preaches to him, and they all get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter brings that up. And then James speaks up, and this is verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, this is Simon Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Again, this is the subject, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Okay, so what's it about? It's about they're discussing if the Gentiles can become partakers of what they've entered into. And Peter, he's talking about, you know, man, I saw it. I was there and I was afraid, you know, and God had to put the sheet out there and put clean and unclean. And I said, not so, Lord, I'm so spiritual. I don't want to, he said, don't call that which is clean, unclean, and all that. So he's going, no, man, God fell on them. And I mean, I saw God, I hear Peter saying, I saw God's acceptance. And what happened was, there was no circumcision at all. There was no law that they even read or grasped or said, I will follow this. There was just complete freedom. And James says, God prophesied this. God prophesied this, that I will return. And I will build up that tabernacle again, that tabernacle of David, and the Gentiles will come in. Okay? The Gentiles will come in. All right. So, what does that mean? It means, let's keep in mind this one thing that burns in my heart over all this, and that is God wants that fellowship that he had with David in that David's tabernacle back again. He wants it. Okay? So James is saying the Gentiles are David's tabernacle. David is saying Gentiles, you guys are supposed to be the new David. All right, got to explain that a little bit, okay? Let's see. I'm going to read this just so... we've only got about 10 more hours. Good grief. Y'all fasten your seatbelts. We'll be here a while. All right, so I'm just going to read this out of Romans. It's out of Romans chapter 4, but I'm going to just read my statements. Before the... And you should probably listen to what I'm going to share because the scripture will... We'll explain that. Before the Gentiles were brought in, the cross was already done. Okay, so if I drew on the chalkboard here, if I drew Moses' tabernacle, and it was divided into the Holy of Holies, which was David's tabernacle where only God was, and then the rest of it was all the offerings and all of the stuff and all the cleanly things and all this, and you got to do all this stuff. God took that bottom part away and only left the Holy of Holies, but it was no longer the Holy of Holies. It was David's tabernacle. It's completely different. And yes, only priests can go in there, but they'll be Gentiles. And there'll be a lot of them. Okay. All right. So before the Gentiles were brought in, Jesus had already died. The cross had already cut that bottom part out. Right? Oh, my God. That part of Moses' tabernacle was done away. Gentiles don't walk into a room. The first thing they see is the brazen altar. They don't. They see the Ark of the Covenant, or God. They see God, all right? They are supposed to be David to God now. That part of the tabernacle is gone. So I'll read Romans 4, 6 through 8. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Yeah. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. This is David talking. Yes. All right. All right. So I'm going to explain David now a little more for you. David was like a Gentile believer. Now, come on. Just hear it. Some of you know the scriptures and different things. But David was completely different. Okay? What? He went in and he ate the showbread. He went into the Holy of Holies. You know what I'm saying? He wore an ephod, which was only supposed to be worn by priests. We can just go on and on and on. In fact, let me just reread a little bit of what we were reading earlier. But he, Jesus, said unto them, have you not read what David did? Anybody getting an idea that the Lord really likes David? And this is Jesus going, let me tell you, I like this guy. He came in there to see me. You know, and when in the Holy of Holies, when he had it in his front yard, he came in there to see him all the time. Before that, it was just a big dark room with God in there, and nobody but the high priest could go in once a year, and he didn't go into fellowship. He said, well, these people are a mess out here, fix them. Give us one more year, right? But David's tabernacle is different. Yeah. All right, so have you not read? I love this. I want to say this a lot to y'all. Have you not read what David did? When he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful. Not lawful. Not lawful. Lawful. David's tabernacle. Everything about it has nothing to do with the law. He says, not lawful for him to eat, rather, or neither for them which were with him, only the priests. But I say unto you, in this place one is greater than the temple, greater than Moses' tabernacle, greater than Solomon's temple. It was David's tabernacle, and God's crying out all the way to the prophets and then all the way to the new church. He's crying out, I want this back. I want this kind of fellowship back. I want them with me. I want them to come into me. I want it to be about us. Hallelujah. Jesus says, but I say unto you, because there's one greater than Moses' tabernacle and the temple. If you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. All right. Guilt and all of that has to do with the old one. Okay. All right. Let's see. I really do want to finish this, and we're pretty close. Are you okay to go on? Because if we don't, I am not coming back for a fourth week. All right. So this is Psalm 87. You can turn there, and I'll just make some statements here. God wants this kind of fellowship back. Okay, that's a fact. He wants that kind of a king. See, if you're going to rule and reign with him, you're not going to do it like Saul, because he's not going to allow it. It's going to be like David. And David was his standard for being king, was he not? He measured every king after David. Well, he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, not like as unto David. Or he did good in the sight of the Lord, like and unto David. All this stuff. He's God, and his heart is going, I want David, I want David, I want this spirit. He's crying out. I'm telling you, if you'll read those scriptures in Amos and in Acts, you'll see that he's just wants that. And so he's saying, I want this kind of king. And that's why, that was his measurement and everything. And he wants this kind of intimate fellowship back. David became the standard of the kind of fellowship he wanted. I want it back. And I put down, he wants it back in the spirit in which he and David fellowship. God loved that fellowship. He loved it. You say, well, prove it to me. All right, this is Psalm 87, verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Is that great? That's where he wants us. And he wants us with that kind of heart, without that fear and all that other stuff. I mean, have you ever seen anybody that was just like, they just seemed so free in the Lord that they almost seemed to walk a line of you're almost a sinner. You're so free that you don't care. You ever see anybody like that? It's like, dude, how do they get so free, man? I'd be afraid to do that or something. You know what I mean? I'd be afraid to say that. Well, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Oh, baby. David didn't make that. You know, he didn't set up a tent, put the Holy of Holies in there, and then go, hey, what we need is some curtains in here that have that have religious symbols. Why? It was a place to give back to God, David's Tabernacle, a place to give back to God, and a place for us to be able to open our hearts and for him to open his heart and fellowship on the basis of his son that we're one with. All right, let me read this statement. David is gone, but God wants to make us Jesus' body, his temple, his habitation, not in the way we think, but as a place of intimacy with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. All right, so basically, these are my closing words. And if any of you know me, I usually say, this is my first closing. King David was a shepherd boy who became Israel's third and most important king. David is the most frequently mentioned human in the Old Testament. That should make us cry to see that God continually is referring back to him. But it gets better. David is the second most mentioned human in the entire Bible. Only Jesus is mentioned more. Oh my God. Well, Jesus is in on that David's Tabernacle thing too. So he's like picking, the Father's going, okay, let's see who else in here. Say, I like you, Jesus, and you, David. But he's telling us Gentiles, we're supposed to be coming on a completely different basis than that. God called him a man after his own heart, not a man after attaining to greatness or the greatness that he thinks he deserves, or even a man who fulfills his calling. I think David wasted so much time being in David's Tabernacle. But it wasn't waste, was it? Wasn't waste. Why call ye this waste? Jesus is the root of David. He's the root of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are, according to Galatians, partakers of that root and Romans. It's not just the root, but the fatness. Woo! Yeah, we can put on weight. It's okay. Praise God. That root is the slaughtered lamb. So let me close again with a couple of verses. Revelation 5, 5 and 6, one more time. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. The root of David. I'm giving it to him. verse 6, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and of the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And I'll stop with that. One more scripture. This is Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. He's the root of David and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And then this is the last scripture and the last that I'll say other than a closing prayer. Isaiah 16, verse 1, jot it down. Isaiah 16, verse 1. And it says this, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah to the wilderness unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Send ye the lamb, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment, hastening righteousness. Folks, can we send the lamb? Can we send the lamb? Hallelujah. Thank y'all for letting me share these past Sundays. I just pray that the Spirit of God, whether you got anything out of it, the first class, second class, or third class, not class, but time of sharing, may the Spirit breathe the reality of what the Lord has been setting forth here. Because I promise you, I didn't make any of this up. It came from the Lord. And the freedom that it will bring to you, the burdens that will drop off of you, and the heart that will no longer be focusing, trying to get God to speak to you, but speak to the Son in you, and the Son speak, and your relationship becoming more that eternal relationship than an earthly relationship. Let's pray. Father, I know this is a lot to consider. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried because I know that your Spirit wants to shout this from the rooftops. I know that you and your Son and the Holy Spirit want this kind of fellowship back. And you've longed for it and you've cried out over generations for it. And then you have established the Gentile church on it in Acts 15. And I ask you, Father, I ask on the wings of the dove that you take this and you bring the seeds of this and let those seeds be sifted. And let the path be made clear. What shall I say then? Save me from this, but for this cause came out of this hour. And let from the results of all of that not be something about us. May it become David's tabernacle to you, and may it thrill your heart to have this back finally. So we thank you. We thank you for your kindness toward us, so much kindness. We thank you, Jesus, for your gentleness. Hallelujah. David said, your gentleness has made me great. Jesus, that's what he said about you. Oh, to give us that heart. That heart that was at work in David toward you. And so we don't ask it based on our deserving of it. We don't ask it based on our earning of it. We don't even ask it based on our understanding of it at this stage. We ask it if your spirit is bearing witness that this truly is what you're trying to say to us and to the churches. Thank you, O root and offspring of David. Oh, even joining your name and his together. So wonderful, so precious. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.